Good morning. Good morning. So wonderful to see everyone gathered together for our worship service this morning. Excited to see how God is going to reveal himself to us in many ways. Before we begin our worship service, though, just a few announcements to make sure we're all aware of everything. First of all, if you are a guest with us this morning, we have guest cards. They're located in the pew directly in front of you. If you've never filled one out, if this is your first time or fifth time, if you could fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate, we would love to have a record of you being here with us to worship together. One other announcement I want to make. The GAs are collecting socks for the trip to Kentucky that the Baptist men are leading up that will take place at the end of this month. So if you have some information or if you have any questions about that and what they're collecting and how many they're collecting, please ask Rebecca Gaines. She would have some information about that. Their GA groups are collecting those. The RAs have been packing the boxes. There have been a lot of donations already, as you can tell if you've been at the far end of the newer building where all the collections are taking place, which is wonderful to see. It's going to be a full trailer, maybe even two, if we keep going towards the end of this month when the Baptist men go to Kentucky. It's a very exciting time to continue that partnership. Those are the announcements I have this morning. Are there any other that need to be brought to our attention that are not in the bulletin?
One. Okay. Next Sunday, we'll be collecting our World Hunger offering banks. So if you would, please remember that. Those of you that have been collecting the dimes in the bread loaf, we would invite you, if you would like to. We would like for you to. But if you don't, we'll take it. But if you could maybe count that money and turn it into a check, put that check in the bank, and bring that bank with the check, that'd be a blessing. If you just want to bring the dimes, we'll deal with it. But we would appreciate that. If you come late, maybe you didn't get a bread bank, and you'd like to give next Sunday is World Hunger Offering Day across the nation. When denominations actually all over will be collecting money for World Hunger. So we would invite you to join us in that effort next Sunday.
Very good. Any other announcements? Well, seeing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer this morning. God, we come before you humbly, and we also come before you excited. Lord, we are in your presence right now. We know that you say where two or more are gathered, that you are here among us. And God, we are here to have your presence be revealed to us through your word and through song, through praise, Lord. So we can leave here changed and transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Show us what that looks like for our lives individually. And show us what that looks like as your church together. God, we come before you. You know the needs on our hearts. You know the things that lie before us this week. We want to be prepared to be a witness in all ways. So we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship this morning.
Thank you, FSYC. We will follow him, and we will also stand up for him. Page 485, let's sing the first, second, and last verses of Stand Up for Jesus. Let's all stand.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every bow is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye who are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be.
Good morning. Good morning. So good to see all of you sitting down here for our time together to see how God is going to teach us something from His Bible. And you know, I always like to start off by asking a few questions. And even though it's fall time now, into summer, you may have done this at the beginning of the summer, in spring, I want to ask you, have you ever helped in a garden before? Raise your hand if you've ever helped in your parents' garden before, anybody's garden. You have before? Have you ever planted any seeds before in a garden? What kind of things do you see grow in a garden? A lot of flowers, watermelons. Yeah, you're right. You said that? Flowers, I love it. What else do you see in a garden? Yeah. Plants. You see tomato plants, maybe, right? Somebody said watermelons. Now, let me show you this. You know, they come out, they start in a seed, right? And roses, too. Listen to me for a second. Y'all are excited about the garden. I love that. And that's going to help us understand what we're talking about this morning. And just like you help in a garden, usually that starts with seeds, right? He's got the whole gist of the garden, how that works with rain and everything. That is wonderful. Well, usually it starts with seeds. So look in my hand right here. You're going to see something really tiny. I want everybody to take a look at it, okay? Do you see? You see that right there? It's really small. That's the size that a mustard seed would be if you were to plant mustard seeds. That's really tiny, right? Smallest seed that you can really see before, okay? And the Bible this morning is going to teach us something about a mustard seed. We're actually going to talk about faith. And you may ask, well, what does faith and a mustard seed have to do with each thing? Well, let me ask you two silly questions. Have you ever, I know you've helped in a garden before, right? You said that. Have you ever taken a full-grown tree and picked it up by itself and put it somewhere else? No, you've never done that, right? Now, what about this? You've seen a mountain before, big mountains. Have you ever taken a big mountain and moved it from one place to another? No, of course not. You're looking at me silly, right? That doesn't make any sense. Well, this morning we're going to talk about how that does make sense because Jesus is going to teach us something really interesting, okay? And in the Bible, you hear a lot about faith, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And a little story before our Bible lesson about faith may help you understand. You see, there was a little girl one day that got lost in her neighbor's farm. It was a big farm, and she was walking around. Before long, she was lost and didn't know where she was and didn't know how to get back home. Well, she just stopped where she was and started praying. And not long after that, the farmer came and found the little girl sitting there praying. And she said, you know, I'm lost. I need to find my way back home. He said, well, I'll take you home. She said, you know, farmer, I knew that you were going to come and get me and tell me where to go back home. He said, you did? How did you know that? She said, well, I was praying. He said, you were praying? Well, all I heard you say when I walked up to you were your ABCs. A, B, C, D, E. She said, yeah, that's right. I didn't know what to pray exactly, so I just started saying the ABCs to God, and I figured He'd put all the letters together like He needed them to be put together so He would understand what I needed. And I thought that was a really neat way to understand that she had faith. She believed in what she couldn't see. And this morning in Luke chapter 17, there are a couple verses that are going to help us understand faith and what that means to believe in what you can't see. Two verses, Luke 17, 5 and 6. Listen to this. It says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, remember that? You could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus just said we could take a big tree up and put it somewhere else if we had faith even the size of a mustard seed. Well, He's not really telling us to pick up big trees and move them. What He's telling us is to have faith in Him, even though we can't see Him, and believe that He loves us very much. Okay? So let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for loving us, and thank you so much for teaching us to have faith in you and believing in you, even though we can't see you right now. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
I'll see you. As our children are heading out and heading back to their seats, let me invite you to open the bulletin to our prayer concerns. One name I'd like to add, that of Anthony Harrington. Anthony has had some difficulties with his blood sugar. We seem to have that going around. We're just too sweet here at Flat Springs, I'm afraid. But he is at Raleigh Duke. I tried to call him this morning and wasn't able to get up with him. I did talk to him yesterday. So let's keep Anthony in our prayers. You'll see the names that are listed. Each of those represent people that are important to God. important to us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, on this day when we come to the table to remember how much you love us, as we speak of your love and give thanks at your amazing grace, we are amazed at your love. We lift these who have special needs to you and ask, O God, that you would touch them with that grace, with that love, with your mercy. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Bye.
Thank you, young people. 573, Set My Soul Afire. Let's all stand.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let thy voice be heard. Mid and probing darkness, in this day and hour, I will be a witness. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions thrown in darkness, save me for thy word. Set my soul
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for everyone who is here. Be with those who could not be here today. Please accept this humble offering and let's use it in a way that would glorify your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Indeed, we have come today to give thanks for God's eternal love. FSYC, what an amazing job. Thank you for that music, the message of the earth melting away and the sun refusing to shine will tie directly to our message this morning. A powerful, powerful song. Our secretary was out this week and our pastor did the bulletin. You might notice communion is not in the bulletin. We're going to do it, and we're going to end with Blessed Be the Time. Reminded of the story of the guy that was doing communion in an old, way back community. And he, instead of getting the communion wine, he got some persimmon wine. And at the end of the service, they whistle, Blessed Be the Tie that binds. Well, we're going to sing, Blessed Be the Tie that binds when we leave. I hope you know that my heart is not in the bulletin, but we will conclude our worship that way. Let me invite you to take your Bibles. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll continue to do that. Today we're going to read the 8th verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. I'm going to invite you to stand, and if you notice it's in the pew Bible, the page there is one short verse. I'm going to read it first from the English Standard Version. But while you remain standing, I'm going to also read it from the Living Translation, the Message, the Voice, the Living Bible, and the Amplified Bible. So if you'll just stand, don't be looking where I'm reading, because after you read it in the English Standard, that one verse, you don't have it, I don't think, what I have before me. So if you would, a way of honoring God's Word, would you stand? Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Love never dies. Inspired speech, that will be over someday. Praying in tongues, that will end. Understanding will reach its limit. Love will never become obsolete. Now as for the prophetic gifts, they will not last. Unknown languages will become silent, and the gift of knowledge will no longer be needed. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Someday prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts shall disappear. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by the truth. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, we have read this one verse over and over and over again today. May Your love speak to us so clearly. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd invite you to open your hymn book to page 496, Burn in Me, Fire of God, 496. That will be our hymn at the conclusion of our message. I think quickly Paul gives us three truths today before we come to the Lord's table. The first truth is that eternal love, by its very nature and its very name, will outlast prophecy. William James, a great psychologist and a great Christian, said, "The greatest use of life is to spend it on something that will outlast it." That's pretty good, isn't it? In case this is early in the sermon and you didn't catch that, let me read that again. William James said, "The greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it." And what we've just read in the 8th verse of the 1 Corinthians 13 is that love is that one thing that will outlast it all. Now, this is not to insult prophecy, but to compliment eternal love. The message is important, but our message is only in history. Prophecy, also called preaching or proclamation, it's for an imperfect time and for imperfect people. That's you and me. That's for the time in which we live. Already, distractions are all around us, aren't they? The message of God we know, but how in the world do we sometimes lose touch with it? How do we sometimes find other things that get in the way? Love is that perfect completion of the message. It is that part of what we do that will outlast even history. This is a moment in time and space, and we know it will end. Possessions we have will be left behind. Every accomplishment, every award, every achievement will lose its luster. But the love of God will be as fresh as the new fallen snow. Lasting love is powerful. I contemplated whether I'm going to do this, but I am. I'm going to read you a rather long story. It's one of those glimpses, and I think if it captures you like it captured me when I read it, it will give us just a tiny glimpse of what love might be. It happened to a fellow named Ted Forbes back in 1984. He was walking down a street in Chicago, and he found a wallet. And being an honest Christian, he wanted to get it back to the owner. He opened it up and looked for identification, and the wallet contained three $1 bills. There was no driver's license. There was no Social Security card. There were no pictures. There was nothing in it like that kind of ID. But looking through the wallet a little more, Ted found an old, tattered envelope. It was wrinkled, and it looked as if it had been carried for years and years and years. The only part of the writing on the envelope that could still be read was the return address. To find more information, he opened the envelope, and to his surprise, there he found a letter dated June the 6th, 1924, 60 years earlier. The letter had been written, and it was what we would call a Dear John letter. It was a letter breaking off a relationship. It was a letter saying that the relationship couldn't go forward. It was written to a man named Michael and from a woman named Hannah. She explained that though she loved him and she would always love him, her parents had forbidden them to see each other anymore. Ted Forbes wanted to locate the owner of this wallet. He drove to the location of that return address. He parked his car and he walked up. A woman answered the door. Ted asked if she knew a Michael or a Hannah. And she was told that she had purchased the house 30 years ago, from a family whose daughter was named Hannah. She said that Hannah had placed her mother in a nursing home just a few blocks up the street. Ted drove down to the nursing home. He explained the story to the nursing supervisor. She told Ted that the lady he was trying to find had died. However, she had a phone number for the daughter, Hannah. Calling the number, he learned that Hannah was no longer living there anymore. The person answering the phone said Hannah was now in an apartment house for the elderly. Ted began to wonder why he's making such a big deal over a lost wallet which contained $3 and an old letter. But he was down a trail now, so he decided to keep going. Aren't y'all glad he did? Wouldn't it be sad if it ended right here? Wouldn't this be terrible? He finally tracked down Hannah, and he went to visit her at the elderly apartment house. She was in an apartment on the third floor. Ted knocked on the door. A gray-haired, alert, bright-eyed lady with a warm smile on her face answered the door. Yes, it was Hannah Marshall. Ted told her about finding the wallet. He showed her the letter and asked if she knew someone named Michael. Hannah took the letter. Tears filled her eyes. She told Ted that the letter was the last contact that she had ever had with Michael. She said that she had never married because she never found anyone she loved as much as Michael. Then she asked Ted, "If you find Michael, would you tell him that I still love him?" Ted thanked her and he left. As he was walking down the apartment house hallway, he was carrying the wallet in his hand. The janitor saw the wallet and stopped Ted in the hallway. "Let me see that wallet." Ted handed it to him. He says, "Well, that's Mr. Goldstein's wallet. I'd know it anywhere. He's always losing it." Ted asked if he knew where Mr. Goldstein lived. The janitor said, "Yes, he lives in apartment 6 on the 8th floor of this building." So Ted quickly made his way to the 8th floor. There he found apartment number 6. He knocked on the door. Sure enough, an old gentleman named Michael answered the door. Ted showed him the wallet, and he asked if it was his. "Yes, yes, it was," Ted admitted, reading the letter to seek the identification of the owner. And Mr. Goldstein asked, "You read it?" Then he told Ted that his life nearly ended many years ago when he lost Hannah. He had never married, and he had never stopped loving her. And then Ted said, "Mr. Goldstein, I think I know where Hannah is." The old man became very excited. Ted simply took him by the hand, led him to the elevator, and down to the 3rd floor to Hannah Marshall's apartment door. When she opened the door, they looked at one another in disbelief. Michael Goldstein walked slowly to Hannah Marshall. He took her in his arms, and the 60-year-old separation evaporated in the warmth of their love. About 3 weeks after Michael and Hannah were reunited, Ted got a call asking him could he be the best man at a wedding. They were married after 60 years of separation. It must have been some sight, a 79-year-old man and a 76-year-old woman acting like teenagers. A perfect ending to a tragic separation. They had every reason to celebrate. That's love. That's love. How many times are we disappointed in when love didn't do all that it needed to do, and how much more it could have done? But the eternal love of God that you and I will proclaim in a moment when we hold in our hands a piece of bread and a cup. That's the love. That's the love that we need to live with each other. That's the love that Deep River and Sanford and Lee County and North Carolina, they so desperately need. The message or prophecy about God will be replaced with the eternal essence of God's eternal love. The fulfillment of prophecy is God's love. God's love is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We will, when we really believe we're created for eternity, it changes how we love, how we live, and how we see others. Secondly, eternal love will out-communicate language. The unknown tongue of the people of Corinth would be replaced with the power of love. If we put this back in context for just a moment, the church at Corinth was struggling with gifts. Isn't that amazing? We're that way. Have you noticed that about us? The more we get blessed, the more we drift away from God. I don't understand it, but I know I'm guilty. They had been blessed heavily with God's great gifts, those first century gifts, those apostolic or apostle-like gifts. And they were using them against each other. They were using the things of the church against one another. the church at Corinth was struggling with its worship. I'm going to make, I think, a rather simple statement, but one that I think might be good for the church today. Worship style should never replace the one we worship. We should never argue over how we do church, for when we do church well, it communicates God's love completely. The mysterious worship will be replaced with that pure worship of God's love. The form of worship is temporary. The one we worship, the one we communicate with, that's eternal. And finally this morning, eternal love will outsmart knowledge. I like that it will outlast, it will outcommunicate, and it will outsmart. Common sense is always before us. I heard this little funny story. I'll let you know it's funny, so you'll be ready for me, okay? Some archaeologists in Britain were digging down. They dug down 10 feet, and they decided that they found pieces of copper wiring that dated back 200 years. And so they decided that their ancestors in Britain had a working phone network that was more than 150 years old. Not to be outdone, an American archaeologist dug down 20 feet, and he published in the New York Times that he had found traces of copper wiring 250 years old. And so he determined that the Americans had a phone system 100 years earlier than the Brits. A week later, a fellow that worked for the Department of Minerals and Energy in Western Australia gave the following report. I dug down 30 feet, and I didn't find any trace of wire anywhere, so I conclude that Australia had gone wireless before the Brits or the Americans had a phone system. See, it's all how you see it. It's all how you interpret it, isn't it? God has gone wireless in our hearts, hasn't he? God has given us that love that can outsmart even our own knowledge. One of the great stories of God's love is told of a three-year-old who his older brother, just out of a fit of anger, came and shoved him to the ground and hit his head against the back of the wall and hurt him. And he began to cry. And what he did next amazed and yet teaches. He immediately, in his pain, rose to his feet and ran to his brother who pushed him down and laid his head on his chest and wept. You see, even though he had been hurt, he loved. And he knew who loved him. God's love will outsmart even our knowledge. God's love. You see, in our world, knowledge is king. But in the world to come, love is king. We know that. You and I, we know that. We know that love is the greater motivating force in our life, in our home, in our church, in our community. But oh, aren't we challenged? Wonder what Paul meant when he said, knowledge, it'll pass away. Love is superior to knowledge. And it will continue after all the degrees, all the sheepskins, all the education, all the technological things have rusted or been replaced with something else. Love will surpass it all. Today, in just a moment, we invite all who are believers, whether you're a member of our church or not, to come to the Lord's table and hear the words of Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. This is my body. It's broken for you. This is my blood. It is shed for you. Love. Love never ends. This table is just as powerful today as it was when our Lord broke the bread in the upper room for the first time and gave to His disciples. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in just a moment we're going to prepare our hearts by singing a hymn of decision. And we're going to make some decisions, oh God. Even if we just decide not to make any decisions. But what a wonderful opportunity to be reminded of Your love. Is there someone, Lord, that we're not loving as we need to? Maybe there's someone in our past. Maybe there's someone down the road. Maybe there's someone at school or at work. Maybe there's someone, You know who. And we know who, oh God. Help us to love with a love that never ends. When prophecy passes away, when tongues cease, and when knowledge is gone, Your love goes on. Blessed be Your holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 496, Burning Me, Fire of God. This morning, as part of our preparation for the Lord's table, may each of us make those choices in our life right now about what we need to do to clean our hands spiritually before we come to the Lord's table as we stand together. Would you please be seated as we come to the Lord's table.
This is an ordinance that we are going to observe at Flat Springs Baptist that is open for all baptized believers, whether member of Flat Springs or not. It's a time where we're remembering Christ having a Last Supper with His disciples right before He would be betrayed and ultimately crucified. It's a time for us to remember Christ giving His body and His blood and how that gives us life through His resurrection, through His death and His resurrection. Listen to the words of Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." Let us pray. God, we come before You humbly now as we remember the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and how His perfect gift gives us life through the resurrection. God, place that on our hearts right now to meditate on that. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
And it said, on the same night, our Lord took a cup, and after he had blessed it, he gave to his disciples, and he said, This is my blood, and I shed it for you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in just a moment we'll hold a cup with a small amount of the lifeblood of a grape. And we'll be reminded of you pouring out your eternal love from Calvary's tree, that it touches us even today. And for that we give thanks. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
according to the law. I may almost say that all things are cleansed by the shedding of blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, our Lord, cleanseth us from all our sins. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Would you stand with me? And it said on that night after our Lord had instituted the first Lord's Supper that they sang a hymn. And the disciples went with Jesus. They departed to a garden called Gethsemane. There Jesus would pray three times for the cup to pass from Him, but not His will, but God's will be done. A troop would come from the Sanhedrin. Guards, they'd arrest Jesus. They'd carry Him before the Sanhedrin. There He'd be accused of blasphemy. They'd carry Him before King Herod, ultimately to Pontius Pilate. And there, under the charge of high treason, Jesus would be sentenced to death. He and two others would be led outside the city wall to a place called Skulls, Golgotha, Calvary. There He would be nailed to the cross, and there He would hang until He died. He would be taken from that cross and placed in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. That would be the first day, that Friday. The second day, that Sabbath day, Jesus would be in the grave. The first day of the week, the third day, that first Easter Sunday, the women went to prepare His body, and the stone had been rolled away. The guards from the Roman troops lay as dead men, and an angel was there. And the angel asked the question, all that we need to hear today, why do you seek the living among the dead? Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples, He has risen. He has risen. From the grave. Now I'd invite you to join hands with the person next to you. Ask the diaconate to join me and turn and face our congregation. And let us sing one stanza of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. God bless. Come on, Sadie. Come on, Sadie. Come on, Sadie. Come on, Sadie.